Welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's radio show, AC23. The mission of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge is to foster the creative capacity in the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, teaching, and training. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from staff members, artists, and arts organizations throughout our region. If you'd like to hear this episode again, you can find it online at www.artsbr.org.
All right, I'd like to welcome our AC23 Artist Legacy Series listeners. I'm Mike Essenault, Director of Arts and Education at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have a good friend as my guest, Mr. Rob Payer. Rob, welcome.
Thank you, Emmy-winning Mike.
This isn't about me.
This is about you, Rob. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
No, it's an honor to have you, and I wanted to interview you because you've been such a big part of the Baton Rouge community, especially radio community, for many years, and want to talk about how you got into that and so forth. But I want to start with the beginning. So, like, where are you from, Rob?
Well, I am from right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Long time resident. I've lived in Chicago and Denver for a short while, but have called Baton Rouge home the whole time, and love the town, love the people, love the food. Like any town, it's got some issues, but we don't have to delve into that.
Well, what town doesn't?
You know? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Grew up here, was really always interested in music and performing. Pictures of me as a 2 or 3 year old with 2 or 3 little drums tied around my neck, and parents were always very supportive of that. And started teaching myself how to play music, by the time I started high school here at Baton Rouge Magnet High School, where we're recording this at the moment.
Yes, plug for Baton Rouge Magnet High School.
I'd taught myself to play 5 or 6 different kinds of instruments, but when I came to school, drums was my focus. So I was taking a band from John Gerbrecht and was also able to get mentored a little bit by Lee Forche.
Yeah, another one.
And that was an honor, of course. And been kind of just playing music since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And also just being a lifelong fan of music. Was very fortunate to grow up in a family that was into all kinds of different stuff. You know, Sousa and Fats Domino. And there were, I remember, old Rudy Valley records and just all kinds of different stuff. And my father, my mother, different divergent tastes in music, but my grandparents, it was just a big quilt. So I grew up, you know, listening to, Calypso records by, Harry Belafonte and just the Tijuana Brass with the Whipped Cream and Other Delights. Everybody had that record in their collection, and also cowboy music and rock and roll and stuff like that. And my brothers, when they moved out, they left their 45s collection, so I was exposed to all of this wonderful soul and rhythm and blues and rock and roll, and so I love music, and I'm just glad that not only that I'm able to play music, but that I'm able to make my living doing music and providing music for people who want to listen to good music,
right?
Via the radio program. I started in radio. Well, I took this class at Baton Rouge Magnet High School, which is the only high school in the world that has 2 radio stations that students operate in the entire world. But back in 1977, when the station started, that was 48 years ago as of this recording in 2025, it was a very small radio station, but there weren't any other radio stations that were playing the kind of stuff that WBRH was playing. And at that time, it was a mix of big band, which I also adore, and jazz. And in the afternoons, around 3 o'clock when school would let out, it'd be rock and roll on the rock show. And we had just about all the high school kids in town would tune into that at 3 o'clock. So that was a great to be a part of that and to get into radio taking that class. And just before I graduated, I had the opportunity to go work at WLCS, which was a very, very old radio station at that point. That would have been the high point that all the kids would listen to LCS in the 40s and in the 50s and the 60s as well, before FM radio took over in the 70s. And so it was an honor to be a part of that legacy. And since then, I've been, you know, I've done everything from flying the traffic helicopters to doing the overnight shifts. I've been on a couple of different radio shows that have been number one in the city. And now for over 25 years, I've been here at WBRH back, program director for the FM station, which is primarily jazz, and the AM station, which is primarily blues and rhythm and blues and soul, all of the music that just I adore. So I've got a good knowledge of the older stuff. And, of course, there's so much great music that comes out today. I get tired of people saying, oh, they don't make good music anymore.
It's not true.
It's so not true. There is just so much great music, and there's more of it available that you can find because it's easier for artists to put their stuff out. So I like to be able to, like, just find, you know, your Indiana Jones, and you find that very cool old song or this brand new artist who nobody knows, and to be able to expose, you know, all of our listeners to that. That's a pleasure for me.
Well, so I'm in listening to all of that. I'm putting it together. So, like, those formative years of being exposed to so many types of music and falling in love with all that kind of music, that really did play a big part in not only your knowledge of music, but your enthusiasm. And so you were listening to the Baton Rouge High radio station before you were a student here.
Right.
And you were, I guess, an enthusiast for the station.
Right, exactly. It was very low wattage back then. So, yeah, I have to ask my mom to drive down Government Streets so I could be able to tune it in.
No, you went too far. Back up.
So, you know, 25-foot radius in front of the school. You could
just drive around a circle.
But then to come in and to be a part of it, and to, you know, by the time I was a senior, programming, you know, different aspects of the jazz and the big band, and you know, to touch on being exposed to different music. That's also one of my joys, and something I'm so thankful of, is to be from Louisiana and to grow up in Louisiana and the incredible rich culture of different kinds of music that are in the state. I think so many people in the state really truly take it for granted.
Sure.
Until you travel around and really understand the universal adoration for Louisiana music and culture. Especially overseas. People just go crazy for Louisiana music and artists. So that's another thing that I'm trying to give back to the kids that are at the station now and who have been coming through this program for decades, is to open their eyes and expose them to this music that they wouldn't necessarily normally listen to, because teenagers are going to listen to, you know, the popular stuff, and might not have heard of, you know, Donald Byrd.
Right.
And, you know, Cristo Redentor. What is that? You know, well, let me blow your mind. You know, sit back for about 5 minutes and just give me some of your time, and I think you're going to be loving this. And that's the power of music.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's interesting about that is, you know, you mentioned that the younger kids, they listen to what they listen to, but they might not realize in Louisiana, especially South Louisiana, all the great genres and musicians that have come from here, but how that music is really the roots of what they listen to today.
Exactly.
It's all connected.
Exactly.
And most of them don't have a clue.
If there's a well-known song that, you know, samples something, I'm going to play them the original version, and then the light goes off over their head, and they go, oh, wow. So I might start listening to whatever this James Brown person who I've never heard of before, you know.
Right.
I know that little sample from Funky Drummer, but this is where it came from.
Yeah.
Let me do some deep diving now. Let me find out a little bit more. And that happens. It's such a joy, you know, if you face a 16, 17-year-old young person, and they've got a notebook. They've been in the radio station for months now, and they're starting to write this list of songs and artists, and they're making their own mixes. And they're, you know, so they'll take that. Maybe, who knows, they go off to college and they expose their friends to this. So good music is good music.
Sure.
It's just important that there are avenues for that to be heard, whether it's over the radio or live. You know, you certainly understand that the opportunities for a lot of musicians is limited. Not just in this city, but all over the country. So it's really, really always truly important to support live music and musicians, especially the local musicians. They're not doing it for money. They're doing it, you know, they're doing it for to learn, they're doing it for the joy and the passion of the music. So it's always, you know, really important to do that. And as this radio station is listener-supported, public radio station, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is no longer existent. So a lot of radio stations across the country are going to be, you know, in financial dire straits.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's important to, because a lot of those radio stations, they're playing the regional music, excuse me, you know, a little radio station up in, up in the Northwest or in the Midwest might be playing, you know, music, Tejano music or Native American music. And so I think it's really important that, that people should want to contribute to keep that alive.
Right.
Not just, you know, for the community.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important.
No, I totally agree. I'm curious. I've known you for years because I was taught here as well at Baton Rouge High, but I really don't know, to be honest with you, much about the radio program, like just the curriculum. Like if a student gets involved, like you did many years ago, what does that program look like? What does the curriculum look like?
Currently, and for the last couple of decades, I'd say the excuse me. The first year students have to take a classroom-based intro class, mm-hmm. Which is separate from the studios that we're in, where our radio stations are and all of our recording studios. They do a lot of learning about broadcasting history. They do a lot of learning about writing scripts, presentation, things like that. And then after that year, say it's their freshman year, if they've proven that they have an interest in it and that they are mature enough mm-hmm. to handle being on the air sure. for the thousands of people worldwide, because we stream as well at WBRH.org, then they're invited. And this is these are going to be smaller classes now. So mm-hmm. you don't have 25, 30 kids. We only have two main radio station studios and then several satellite production rooms where they do podcasting. They learn about, you know, doing sportscasts, news. They love doing the podcast. That's a big thing for them.
Sure.
And they have the opportunity to get on the air as well. They host their own show on Saturdays. It's called The Buffet, which is another combination of entertainment and education for them. They are assigned, or sometimes they choose the particular artist or a group or a genre of music, maybe a record label, mm-hmm. and they come up with a 20-minute presentation where they do biographical research, they pick the songs, then they record it, they edit it together. So there's three 20-minute segments every Saturday afternoon, and this show has actually won several awards in the collegiate broadcasting competition.
Yeah.
And it happens in Chicago, sometimes in New York. And inevitably, our kids are bringing home number one. So that's why all those trophies around. That, you know,
that's what those are for.
That's what those are for. Yeah.
This school has this school just has trophies everywhere. It's ridiculous.
It's sick.
These overachieving kids. No, but that says a lot about the educational staff here and just the history of the program.
And they're taking a real deep dive on that show, you know, into an artist. I had one young man said, well, my grandfather was a huge fan of John Prine, and I love John Prine, and I'd like to do my buffet on John Prine. You go for it.
Yeah.
He did.
And that's
he
a
did
good
great.
Topic.
Yeah, it
yeah,
is.
That's a good person.
But they'll cover the run the gamut from some blues artists to soul, rhythm and blues, rock and roll, a lot of Louisiana artists.
Right.
You know, they'll discover Tabby Thomas, or John Fred, who actually did shows, mm-hmm. volunteered on Saturday afternoons to do much well-loved shows. Or, oh, this record was produced by a guy named Sam Montell. Who was that? Well, let me tell you about that. And here's, right. I want you to do a little research on Montell Records and Mr. S.J. Montalbano and Mickey Montalbano and all that kind of stuff. So ties in culturally to our immediate, you know, Baton Rouge roots, but on a bigger stage, our Louisiana roots.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, you know, they find out these are the roots of the music I listen to today. I'm discovering this. And it, again, it just opens your eyes and they really take to it. There's no faking it. You can't fake passion like that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And that's, you know, something that, that always draws me to music is that it's just the passion of it and what it can do to you emotionally and how it can lift you up, how it can be a friend to you when you need one.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone recently, and he's we were talking about music, and he says, well, there's only so many notes, so there's only really so many songs or so many melodies. And I said, mm-hmm. No, that's not really true, because if you think there's only, you know, how many primary colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet, but you mix those colors, you mix those to create different shades, different hues, and the same is completely true about music and making music and enjoying music and listening to music. I love music.
Well, you're preaching to the choir on that one, but you're absolutely right. The listening to music, of course, and then, of course, you play music, as you mentioned, and that's also an extremely not only fun thing to do, but also very therapeutic, you know, no matter where you are in life.
It is.
You know, you can always go to that.
And no matter how old you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's, we look at our jazz masters, we look at some of the old school blues guys from Baton Rouge who did it into their 80s, 90s. Yeah. I think of Henry Gray, he did it all the way up until, you know, he just...
God bless him.
He couldn't even get out of bed to, you know, to do it, but he would be, if he could, he would be, because he loved it.
Well, I have to think, too, in your course of being on the air and interviewing so many people on the air, that has to have been very fulfilling. You know, you talk about Henry Gray or just all the great musicians that have come from here that you've brought into the studio and talked to. I mean how great is that?
It is, because, you know, Alvin Batiste did a show on mm-hmm. Sundays. Having the opportunity to meet, you know, John Fred or Tabby Thomas and Johnny Rivers or Jimmy Clanton or any of the jazz guys that have come in. We're talking about music, but it's just, as you've done so many interviews, it's just a nice opportunity to get to know the person behind the mm-hmm. talent.
And you always learn something that you as much as you thought you may have known,
right.
You know, there's always some nugget. They're like, wow, I didn't know that.
And it gives you, well, this is just a normal person. This person's just like me. But it gives you an opportunity to, so I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed that a lot. And some of them I've had the opportunity to play music with. So one of my favorite, when I was still in high school, David Ellis, who is a bass player from here at Baton Rouge Magnet High School, Dave and I graduated together back in the 80s. But we were still in high school, and we went to Tabby's Blues Box. And it was us and Kenny Neal.
Oh, yeah.
And... don't know if you know this name, E. Rodney Jones. E. Rodney Jones was a famous disc jockey in Chicago for many, many years during the 60s, 50s and 60s. And he made his way here to Baton Rouge, where he was on the air on WXOK. And he was playing the blues and everything like that. But he'd made records back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But E. Rodney Jones, and he played trumpet, too. So it was the four of us. I was on drums, Dave was on bass, Kenny Neal was on guitar, and E. Rodney Jones was playing trumpet, and we played Tighten Up by Archie Bell and the Drells.
Love that tune. Yeah.
And the place was rocking, and I was on top of the world because I'm like, this is cool. I'm making people enjoy themselves, and I'm actually sounding good, and I'm actually playing with some legendary guys right here, Kenny Neal and E. Rodney Jones. And David look over his shoulder at me, he's got a big smile on his face, and I'm like, yeah, man. This is the stuff. So, you do get a little, something from playing music. It is therapeutic. It's life affirming. It's the ability to express yourself that a lot of people can't do.
Yeah. Right.
Which is, you know, when I think of these guys that own these AI companies that spit out this music and I hear their reasoning for it, and they're like, well, you know, a lot of people just don't want to take the time to learn an instrument, or a lot of people just don't have the time to write a song. So we make it so much easier for them. And I'm like, you're missing out on a lot. You're talking crazy talk. I don't understand what you're saying.
You know, to that point, you know, there's a great, I'll try to make this quick, but there's a great story or interview with Igor Stravinsky, the great classical composer, and they're asking, somebody's asking him, you know, what's the greatest part? Is it hearing, you know, Rite of Spring played for the first time, or Petrushka, or any of those? And he's like, no, the greatest part is being in my room at the piano, struggling, and putting in the work, and like working this stuff out. And to that AI guy, it's like, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting your hands dirty, getting in the process, and growing. Can't grow unless you work hard.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you have to stay at it too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of kids that come in, I ask them if they play any instruments. A lot of them do. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are in bands, in Baton Rouge Music Studios.
Yeah.
A lot of them go through there.
Doug Gay. Shout out to him. He's doing a great job.
West Baton Rouge Museum, I think, mm-hmm. was having a blues program for teenagers. So a lot of them are doing that. It encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, though, that come in and say, oh, I used to play piano, I used to play clarinet, I used to play guitar. I said, well, what's stopping you from picking it back up?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Pick it back up, put your TikTok down, mm-hmm. put the TikTok down, put the anime down, pick up that instrument, because it's going to make you feel a whole lot better and be better for your brain than looking at the TikTok and looking at the anime.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to express yourself. Really express yourself, mm-hmm. and that's important for anybody, but especially for young folks who are developing, their brains are developing. I can express myself. I can do things creatively. I didn't think I could. I know when I was that age, I guess my neurons and synapses, they were firing a lot more than they are at this decrepit point in my life, but, you know, while you got it, use it. Use it while you got it.
Well, I would argue, too, that when you... whether it's through the arts or just something that you're passionate about, you know, if you're passionate about it and you're humble about it, then there's always that room for growth. And I look at so many musicians. I was just watching a video the other day of Charlie Gabriel, who's an older musician in New Orleans. He's, I think, 92, 93, plays traditional jazz, still playing wonderful, sings, totally lucid, looks wonderful. And I'm just going to say, and I don't know Charlie well at all, but it's like, I bet you music has a huge part of that. You know, just waking up every day being excited, because I think I'm getting a little... Well, Rob, I knew this was going to be a pleasure, and it was.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much. Keep doing everything that you're doing with the Arts Council. Keep doing everything you're doing musically. And yeah, don't go changing.
Well, you keep doing everything you're doing. We're all the better for it. And thanks again, Rob, for being
here. How kind. Thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to hear this episode again, you can find it on our website, artsbr.org, and click on AC23. We'll see you next time.